In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me is Brian Ray, singer, songwriter, and guitarist. He's active as a solo artist, as well as being one half of LA's Bayonets. When he's not working on his own projects, you can find him in Sir Paul McCartney's touring band. Brian's latest single, On My Way to You, is out now on Wicked Cool Records, and it's also a recent coolest song in the world. We'll hear some of it now, followed by our chat together on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and here with me for today's Coolest Conversations is Brian Ray, who in addition to being a solo artist and half of the Bayonets, is also a guitar slinger in Paul McCartney's band. His latest single on Wicked Cool Records is this week's coolest song in the world, On My Way to You. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Good to see you.
Good to be speaking with you, my friend. Now, I'm thinking the last time we chatted in this format was back in November 2020, so almost exactly 2 years ago now. Has all been good for you coming out of the pandemic?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Manfred. Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like so many, the pandemic just offered me a good excuse to do what I like to do anyway, which is like stay in, make music, chill out with a few trusted people. So it was a fairly easy time for me. But coming out of it has been really exciting, and making this new record was a thrill. There's a sense of sort of like explosion of energy and pent up creativity, I think.
Very cool. I like to hear that. So the new single out now titled On My Way to You, available from Wicked Cool Records. Exactly. Who are you headed to?
The highest me, Manfred. I'm headed towards the best Brian. And I mean, aren't we all just headed to our best versions of ourselves? And so for me, that song is all about what it takes to get to our best version of ourselves, our destination. And the song talks about, you know, I was riding with the ghost. She was the ghost I loved the most. And I woke up in a bull ring. You know, it's all about the relationships that help formulate what our real chosen ideal is.
I'm happy you brought up that couplet, the ghost I love the most. So I was thinking, well, you know, some say they travel with Jesus as their co-pilot. So who exactly is the ghost? Who is that? I mean, that you're speaking sort of like a muse, or what are you talking about?
A little bit metaphoric. I mean, it could be a compilation of women and experiences that I've known in my past who were nothing wrong with any of these experiences or these women, these relationships. But maybe, you know, sometimes I think personally I had a tendency to try to reignite old relationships in a hope to perfect them. You know, it's a strange thing that I have. And I think that that just speaks to that, you know, riding with a ghost. It's like riding with somebody who I was with a long time ago who it's changed. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. This particular song, this is part of this, you mentioned, you know, this sort of explosion of creativity or the pandemic shut things down. You're able to songwrite. So this is a product of that time. This tune?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure was.
So when did you record it?
It's hard for me to remember these things, Manfred. It's, you know, the vinyl production, the vinyl manufacturing for my vinyl single, as with all of our vinyl singles, it was bottlenecked so badly because of the demand that I had to prep this, gosh, nearly a year ago, Manfred. It's incredible. In order to get it released and sent on its way to you.
And I believe you have a home studio, is that right? And did you record it there?
I do indeed, yeah. I have a studio at my pad in Santa Monica, and I call it Bad Manors, M-A-N-O-R-S. And I've been finishing records there for the longest time. And more recently have done, you know, bottom up recordings there. So whereas I used to go and record in a big studio with the rhythm section and then bring the drive home and just do vocals and guitars, sometimes recently I've been doing the whole thing at home in my flip-flops, which is a good thing. You know, it really served me well during the pandemic when gathering in a studio was a little bit off the table.
Right. Well, the recording also features these other guys, Simon here. There's Davey and Abe, and I guess Jose, if I'm saying that right.
That's right.
Who are these guys, and have you worked with them before?
Okay, so Davey Farragher is a longtime member of Elvis Costello's band, The Impostors. And he's been with them for maybe as long as I've been with Paul McCartney. And he's my favorite bass player after Paul McCartney. And lovely, lovely guy, stunning bass player, as you can hear on most of the records that I've put out recently, and a great singer as well. So Davey came to my house at Bad Manors. I'd sent him the rough the night before. He prepped a bit. He did two takes, sang a bit, drank some coffee, had a bunch of laughs, and sent him on his way. In the case of Abe Laboriel, I sent it to him, a session file, and he added drums and vocals in his own studio. And let's see here, and Jose Alcantar, Jose the singer, he is, because Alcantar is Spanish for singer. He's my engineer, my trusted cohort, and he's been working with me for a very long time since my This Way Up solo album back in 2009. And he's with me masked up during the pandemic, and we're working together on these things together.
So the single has been out like a week now. Is there a video in the works for it?
Why, there is indeed. Yes. I'm so happy you asked. It's a really fun work that I did right there during the pandemic with a cool director, and we did it in 4K. We used some green screen technology, and it's pretty cool looking. And then we did some cool effects when it comes to the lines that we've just talked about, riding with a ghost, and later on in the bridge when I talked about kind of my peyote dream. You know, I saw Jesus riding a dinosaur. So we've done some fun things you might get a kick out of, yeah, using a little bit of CGI.
Very cool. You know, I have to say, with the Bandits as well, you've always had really cool videos. And you're working with the same people each time or not?
No, this time it was with a new guy that I'd never worked with before, who came highly recommended. Boy, he's good. And really, really fond of his work. A guy named Tim Roth.
Very cool. What else? Has he done anything that we might be familiar with?
You know, that's a good question. He also did, he did a video for Carla Olson and my version of the Procol Harum song Whiskey Train. I brought him in on that well after he'd finished mine, and mine had been in the can. Carla was looking for some video content along with her lovely hubby, Saul. Mm-hmm. And in the very same manner that we did on my way to you, he came to a house that we got access to. I think we broke into it. Anyway, we went to a house up in Encino Hills and filmed a video together a couple hours one day. And it was a jolly, jolly day.
So you were involved recently with this benefit concert to save the Plaza Theater in Palm Springs. Can you tell us about the theater and the event?
Yeah, it came to my attention. So I live part-time out here in Palm Springs. You can probably see some cacti behind me, a yucca plant, perhaps even a wild bunny. Anyway, I've been out here. I kind of settled in right before the pandemic hit. Lucky enough, it was a great place to sort of isolate. I was in a relationship that was very lovely at the time. And, you know, we had a time to sort of really bond during that tough time for the world. Anyway, it came to my attention just before the pandemic hit that there was an old historic theater in town here in Palm Springs, right there on the main drag, Palm Canyon Drive, called the Plaza Theater. And it was built in 1936. It opened to Marlene Dietrich's film called Camille, and Jack Benny did his radio show from here. Frank Sinatra performed there. Amos and Andy did their radio show from there. So it was a really high-end place when, in the early days, when Palm Springs was, you know, a destination for movie stars to come and hang out on their days off. You know, that's kind of what happened out here. And so they would come to play on their days off, and they needed a theater to see their products, and this was the place. Anyway, it had fallen kind of dormant on hard times. Although it's structurally fine, it needed and needs everything, you know, plumbing, HVAC. It needs a, you know, slap and a tickle. It needs the whole schmagaggy. And they're going to reimagine the entry and the lobby, double the size of the lobby, put in a bar and food. And it's owned 100% by the city, but the city doesn't want to maintain it or restore it or manage it. And nor should they. You know, a small city is busy with other things like collecting parking tickets money. Anyway, so, you know, then it came to my attention that a friend of mine, a guy from the band Queen, Spike Edney, said, let's do a fundraiser for it. I had just toured the theater. I was already smitten with it. So we put together a little band and called upon my best friends in the music biz. I reached kind of high, and I asked for Alice Cooper, Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. Spike asked Paul Rogers from Bad Company. I asked Orianthe. I then asked our very own Chris Carter if he would like to come and MC the event. And a friend of mine named Diamondback Annie, who's a great burlesque artist who does rock and roll drag, to come and do an Elvis, her Elvis in her drag Elvis. And we put together what I think is a really terrific show, and it was sold out in 4 days. It was really an exciting event. And I don't know, Manfred, it called upon more of me than anything else in my life has ever called upon, you know, because I was kind of organizing it and calling upon these big artists who gave so generously, as well as the audio, lighting, art direction. All of these things don't exist in the theater. It's just a shell, but it's a beautiful shell. it looks like a little Mexican courtyard, you know, with an infinity starry light sky and, you know, balconies and windows. And it's really vibey in there. It's what they used to call an atmospheric in the theater world. So, you know, like the Egyptian, like the Mayan, like the Arlington up in Santa Barbara, all of these sort of theme theaters from back in the day. Anyway, a lot of words, but it went really great.
Well, let me make sure I understand correctly. So the concert itself, you did at the Plaza
we
Theater.
We did at the Plaza.
Right?
It was called
Rock. But it's not like currently it's not an ongoing venue. There's all these plans to reimagine, as you said, the lobby and other things with it. So it's not currently active as a venue.
No, it isn't currently active. We had to activate it, and it was a one-off to raise the money, and it was very exciting. There could be, of course, there'll be ongoing concerts once it's restored. But they've raised so much money already now. David Lee, who created Frasier and Cheers, came in hot with a very big donation. And part of it was matching. Then the city matched. And then we got a grant. And then some other big people came in. So we're up there. We're ready to start construction in the spring. It's going to be closed down right after Modernism Week and construction begins. It'll take probably 2.5 years something to complete, but it will be just as it was when it opened, and then some. You know, it'll be state of the art, sound and lights.
Well, Brian, you took on this event, took on this project, and it sounds like it's been nothing but successful so far.
It was a real blast. I got to tell you, Manfred. Once again, what I found was that, you know, I was so happy to be involved because the theater is such a charge. You know, it's such a rush. You walk in there and you just, you know, you're transformed to another time. And I was willing to be involved, and because it sort of triggered something in me in the old days of playing with Etta James, being in theaters, opening for the Rolling Stones in a little theater in Detroit. So I have a history of this size venue. And it really turns me on. But what I found out was it's really easy to get people as energetic as I was about it to be involved when it's something like this. It's not like, hey, Alice Cooper, would you sing on my solo album? You know, it's Alice Cooper, would you help me raise funds to keep a theater alive for another 100 years? And then it was an emphatic yes from everybody. And it was really fun to watch that happen. Like, the excitement and enthusiasm from big artists to be involved in something like this for fun and for free. They donated their time, all of them.
Well, 2022 is quickly wrapping up. What's the plan for you for 2023? You got more singles in the pipeline or a full-length album?
I do. I have some plans. I have plans. Well, there are some I can talk about and some that I'd prefer not to talk about.
Well, right, we won't talk about the ones we don't talk about. That'll be easy. We'll talk about the ones we can talk about because we're talking.
That's a good plan. Well, Little Steven and our lovely producer friend, bon vivant Dennis Mortensen, have offered me to complete what would be a sort of compilation of all my singles in a sort of singles compilation greatest hits type album for Wicked Cool Records. And in that effort, I've written and almost finished with recording 3 brand new songs that will be released as a part of a vinyl LP a little later on, maybe late 2023. We'll see how that timing goes. But songs that won't be released as individual singles, but will instead be available only on the vinyl LP compilation, if that makes sense. It'll be
That makes perfect sense.
Vinyl LP, as well as I think digital as well, and maybe even a CD and a 8-track tape.
Probably more likely a compact disc than an 8-track. Although, you know, it's always fun to you get into somebody's older car or truck and find an 8-track player in there. And then it's hard to find things to play.
Yeah. I mean, you could just put on Fog Hat on repeat and it always stops from the solo.
Well, so that's you doing Brian Ray stuff. Is there any Bayonets on the horizon at all? Is that still?
Okay. Now you're trying to get me to talk about things that I'm not going to talk about. See, I know how you are.
Andrew. Well, then what did I say? I did not say anything. I didn't say anything. Did I just say something? I didn't.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah. Well, let me rephrase that. How's Sir Paul doing? Going to head out on the road with him anytime next year?
You know, that's something that that's up to Paul McCartney. Funny enough, he doesn't take too many touring suggestions from me. I'll just sit tight and see what happens. I always say, like, I just wait for the Hofner silhouette to be beamed up to the night clouds to see if, you know, there's an announcement coming. It's like the Batman sign, right? You see the bat up in the night sky, but it's a Hofner thing.
Well, that's what I was envisioning, was the bat signal going on. That's pretty cool. So the bat signal goes on, and then you open up the sliding bookcase, and down the pole you go.
Yeah, exactly. Activate.
So, did you watch the Batman back in the 60s? Was that something you were, as a kid, you liked, you dug watching?
I loved it. I mean, I was just in the perfect age group for the, you know, original TV series with Adam West and I forgot Robin's name, but man, that was so fun.
Burt Ward.
No. Oh, yeah. Burt Ward was Robin, right? Right. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry, Burt. Anyway, I thought that show was so terrific. And you loved all the cameos and all the guest stars, you know, Frank Gorshin and all these fantastic guest stars on that show as the villains and stuff. And it was so camp and silly. And everyone in my school loved it. I guess I was 11 years old when it came out, so it was perfect age for that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it, of course, until reruns later on, like in the 70s, and then had this epiphany around, you know, around the 11, 12, somewhere in there, where I thought there's a scene where they're in the jail, and somehow the Penguin has broken out, and Batman and Robin come bounding in, and these cops are just sprawled all over the floor, and as they bound into the scene, they kind of look around and, oh, the Penguin's gone. But they don't take notice of any of the bodies laying around, you know. And all of a sudden I had this sense, oh, my God, this is kind of funny. This is funny. You know, it had made this transfer from the comic bookness of it to realizing the campiness and just the just over-the-top silliness to everything, which I just love.
Yeah. The way it was shot, too, it was just so... I guess that was deliberate. You know, they made it look like a comic book panels, you know, it was just so vivid and there was very little effort put into, like, you know, shadows and shades. It was just all very bright and colorful. It was a great series. Really cool. And,
yeah. Man, I could keep digressing on that, but yeah. Hey, I want to, let's talk some about the B-side. Cause we're going to go out on the B-side On My Way to You. It's a story of Bonnie and Clyde. So the movie starring Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty, that's from like 67. Talked about you being around 11 when you're watching Batman. You would have been about 12 when the story of Bonnie and Clyde came out. Did you see the film when you were like a kid?
I sure did, yeah. And you can't be an American kid without learning the legends of some of these nefarious, figures in our history. And Bonnie and Clyde are way up there in the, annals of reprobates in our American history, you know? And so it was always something appealing. When you're a kid, you love renegades and you love bad boys and bad girls, you know, you just do. And maybe when you're older as well, but anyway, yeah. So yeah, I was just interested in that, but it came about in a really interesting way. A very dear friend of mine named Mandy Wimmer and her lovely brother, Chris Wimmer, have a, a podcast concern called Black Barrel Media. And they've been releasing these wonderful historical and podcasts about Infamous America, one is called. And there's one about Western culture in America, the Old West. And they had a series they wanted to do on Bonnie and Clyde. And I said, oh, that's so exciting. I said, you know, it would be cool to add Serge Gainsbourg's and Jane Birkin's version of that song, Bonnie and Clyde, as the theme song, as sort of a very off, you know, sort of off American kind of sound to it. It would have sort of a, you know, it's with French accents, it's sung in French, but it's about our history. I thought that would be a nice sort of contrast. And they loved that song, but they thought they could run into rights issues and stuff like that. And they wanted something maybe a more like American sounding. And I said, well, I'll do a theme song. And so I did. And what I did was I took the existing poem called The Trail's End that Bonnie Parker had written just before their grisly demise about their pursuits, about their way of thinking and about who they were. And I looked at this and I said, well, I think we've got the lyric right there. It's in the public domain. And I just kind of reconfigured it a bit, edited stuff out and compressed it down into, I guess it was four verses, changed it so it was rhythmically a little bit better to sing, and then wrote the music. And then I called my dear friend Orianthi Panagaris, who's a shredder guitar player and singer, to come and sing it with me. And we recorded it right there at Bad Manners. And this time I played many of the instruments, and my doctor, actually, Stephen Pat, played dobro, acoustic guitar, upright bass, and pedal steel. A little bit.
Is there like a mandolin in there somewhere?
I think he played some mando, some banjo.
Okay.
Or maybe some with banjos, an O at the end. Mando, banjo. And it's tremendous. You know, when he's not, you know, checking my heart rate or my ears, he's playing a mandolin. So that was tremendous. And I had a really good time doing that. Orianthi came over for just a couple hours and nailed the vocal and played some guitar and mixed it and turned it in. I think we finished it top to bottom in like 2 weeks.
And so it is the theme song, as well as being the B-side to the single. It's a theme song for this this podcast, their series on Bonnie and Clyde.
That's right. At Black Barrel Media, their series on Bonnie and Clyde. And there it is, by the fabulous Wimmer brother and sister team. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, Brian, thank you so much for speaking with me today on Our Coolest Conversations.
It's my pleasure, Manfred, as always.
Well, we're going to take a listen now to the story of Bonnie and Clyde here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Of the story of Bonnie and Clyde just now.
It's the B-side to his latest single out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Brian for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Bruce Springsteen's latest album, Only the Strong Survive, is a collection of soul covers. And joining me to talk about the project is the album's Grammy-nominated producer, Ron Aniello. He's my guest next time around on our Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.